So thank you for leading that song, Bradley. Thank you for being here on this chilly, chilly evening. I was thinking, looking around, you walk in the building and you can tell who's warm-blooded because they have on no jacket, short sleeve shirts, and so they're warm-blooded. And you can tell the rest of us who need a jacket, and those of us who do not have anything on the top. We need some extra coverage there as well. And so we're glad that you have chosen to be with us tonight. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll meet there in just a few minutes. When I think about the idea of growing spiritually, one of the passages of Scripture that comes to my mind, I want to share with you, but it's about Jesus. You know, when we think about growing spiritually and we look at some of the characters of Scripture, we can see that even Jesus, the Son of God, He grew in a well-balanced way. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says about Jesus there, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." You see, Jesus grew. He grew in a balanced way. He grew physically. He grew intellectually. He grew in favor socially with man. And he grew spiritually in favor with God. And so it's important that we think about examples like that as we look at growing spiritually. I do want to say also again about Evangelism University. Be thinking about that, be praying about that, planning. I know several have asked about the times. As Bradley said, we're going to be posting that. But we do want you to know, if you haven't been before, that there will be a session on Friday evening and also another large session on Saturday evening. And then, of course, our gathering together for worship on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And so once those are posted, if you'll take note of that, we'd love to have you come and be a part of that and be encouraged as well. Also, you'll notice on the schedule the classes and things that will be taking place on Saturday. We'd love to have you as a part of that as well. There's a story that's told about a little boy named Joey. Now, Joey, he really wanted to be like his friend Freddie. However, Freddie wanted to be like his friend Billy. And it turns out Billy wants to be like Johnny. But it seems Johnny really wanted to be like Joey. And so in the end, all Joey really needed to do was to be himself. Have you ever known people to always be comparing themselves to someone else? Maybe you've dealt with some of that yourself. And there are many in the world and even in the church who spend their time always wanting to do or always wanting to be like someone else. But the fact of the matter is, God has given each one of us and created each one of us as we are. He has given us unique physical, intellectual, and emotional capabilities. Now, some people call those talents and some people call those gifts. But one thing is for sure. God, through His Word, has said, whatever your talents are, whatever your gifts are, use those for His glory. Use those for His glory because He wants us to be more like Jesus. And so we take our personalities, we take our talents, and we take our gifts. And we don't just simply say, hey, this is the way I am. This is the way God created me. No, God wants us to take our personalities, to take our talents and take our abilities and hone those and submit those to Jesus and becoming more Christ-like. Being spiritually mature means that we are becoming more and more like Christ. And so anytime we talk about spiritual growth, that's what we're talking about. Becoming more and more and more like Christ. And that's our goal. That's what we want. In fact, a lot of people will refer to spiritual growth as a journey. Why do they do that? Because it is a journey. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. Our goal should be that at the end of our lives, we are more spiritually mature than the day we become a Christian. That's our goal. That's the journey. And so the reality is that we have to remember is that on the journey, we should never stop growing. However, we do know that some people do that. There are always opportunities for spiritual growth. In fact, our journey of spiritual growth should only end when we reach heaven and we're reunited with Christ. Growth and development is important. It's normal. It's expected. It's expected in all aspects of life. We know that it's expected physically and intellectually and emotionally. And that's also true for our spiritual growth. If it's expected with our physical growth and our intellectual growth and our emotional growth, then how much more is it expected and needed with our spiritual growth? You see, physically we are limited though by our genetic capabilities, aren't we? Now we can grow, we're going to grow unless we have some sort of physical disorder. And the better our nourishment, the better our physical growth will be as well. But we're still limited by those genetics. In other words, if you're 5 foot five, or 5 foot eight, or 6 foot, guess what? You're not going to be one or the other. If you're 5'5", you're never going to be 6 foot. You're limited by that. But you've grown to be to that point. Also, intellectually and emotionally, we are limited. Intellectually, we're limited by the amount or the quality of information that we are exposed to. And to some extent, even our own interest in that information. And emotionally, we can be limited by the relationships of the people that we are around. Someone has said, the more interested we are in something, the greater our motivation to continue to learn. Unlike physically and intellectually and emotionally, there are limitations. But when it comes to spiritual growth, our only limitation is our desire. We're not going to grow beyond our desire to grow spiritually. What does it mean to grow spiritually? Spiritual growth, when we're talking about that, we're talking about taking who we are right now and trying to make it more and more every day to be who God wants us to be. No matter who we are or how long we've been a Christian, there's still room for growth, isn't there? Someone has said, spiritual growth is putting into practice what is taught in God's Word. And we know that. But it's important that we're encouraged and reminded of that, isn't it? Look in 1 Peter chapter 2 and notice what Peter says about growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And so Peter here reminds us about physical growth and as it relates to spiritual growth. And he also reminds us to put away the harmful things of the world, the things that would hinder our growth spiritually, and be like those newborn babes and desire that growth. In chapter 2, 2 Peter, I'm sorry, not 1 Peter, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. You remember, this is the text of the Christian graces. And here we're challenged to build on these Christian graces, to build on these virtues of God. The Bible says there, notice in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. What does that indicate? That indicates desire. That indicates effort. That indicates moving. That indicates growth. Add to your faith virtue. To your virtue knowledge. To knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. And to perseverance godliness. To godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter reminds us, you do these things, you add one thing to the other, you grow, and when you grow and you seek to be more like Christ every day, you will neither be barren. What's that mean? Not productive, right? You won't be unproductive. You won't be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we're encouraged to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Growing in the knowledge of Christ. Now, last Sunday we mentioned about that. That goes back to spending time in His Word. And I want to share with you again about thinking about a daily Bible reading plan, a daily studying plan. If you're not on a mobile device, electronic device, let me know and I'll give you a printed version. But YouVersion is one that a lot of us use, and I see a lot of you reading those things. And one of the encouraging things this year is to see several people not only reading the devotional thoughts, but now saying, you know what, I want to read in the Bible this year. And so through that electronic resource, those of you that are choosing to read God's Word, we can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by studying. But when we think about spiritual growth, you know, there's some common misunderstandings and misconceptions about spiritual growth. And I just want to mention a few of those. The first one is, I'll never be spiritually mature because I'm such a flawed person. Some people say, you know what, I'm not going to be spiritually mature. Man, I'm so flawed. I have so many skeletons in my closet that I really don't want everybody to know. And so I'm not going to air them out. Therefore, I really can't grow because I'm so flawed. But the truth is, we are all flawed. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're all flawed. We all have skeletons, I guess if you will, in the closet that we really don't want to air out. But the reality is we're not perfect. We've all messed up on our journey. Like Abraham did some. Like Moses did some. Like David did some. All the great heroes that we read about in Scripture. They were great people of faith, but they were also flawed. This is why we need Jesus. God bought us back through our Savior Jesus Christ. But remember the Apostle Paul? When I think about a person who thinks like this, I think about the Apostle Paul. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said about himself? He said, I am the chief of sinners. And yet we read about his ministry. We read about all the great things that he did. We even read, what did he say? I've learned how to be content. What does that let us know about Paul? He has been on that spiritual journey. He has grown. He never stayed the same. He realized after that Damascus Road experience and speaking to the Lord and being taught by Ananias, he realized the changes that he needed to make, and he did that. But he didn't. He didn't like just put those things out of his mind. He learned from them and he moved forward and he grew, and so can we. Another misunderstanding of spiritual growth is people think I'm spiritually mature because I've been in the church for a long time, maybe even all my life. And so that makes me spiritually mature. But the truth is, time has a way of working against us. You see, over time, because we've been in the church so long, we can become complacent, can't we? And we forget that, you know what, I do need to grow. I do need to make effort. And as we mentioned this morning, it's not just simply about being in a building and sitting on a pew and listening to a guy long-winded speak. It's not just about being together. It's about growing. Someone has said spiritual maturity is not measured by a calendar. You remember in Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16, Jesus tells a parable there. He tells a parable about a master of a vineyard. Do you remember how he hired laborers through the day in that parable? And what did he promise them? You remember, everyone that came to work, no matter what time of the day it was, what did he promise them? He promised them the same pay, right? And when they returned, even if the guy's only been working an hour, what did he pay them? The same as the one had been working all day. And some people, they grumbled and they say, wait a minute, we're being cheated. This is not fair. But do you remember the master's reply? He said, I gave you what has been promised. The point is, it's not how long one has served or worked, but they've been faithful and obedient. That's the important part. It's not about how long we've been in the church or how long we've been a Christian. It's about, are we being faithful? Are we being obedient, like we talked about Abraham this morning? That's the important thing. And that's what leads to spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. Another misunderstanding of spiritual growth is some say, I know a lot about the Bible, therefore I'm spiritually mature. I know a lot about the Bible, therefore I'm spiritually mature. Here's the truth. Facts, data, information, and intelligence can help us grow spiritually, but by themselves, they do not make us grow spiritually. There's a difference in knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus, isn't there? We've heard people say all the time, well, I know about the President of the United States of America, but I don't really know the President of the United States of America. You see, unless our knowledge results in obeying and following Jesus, it's really useless. It's really useless. Unless we take that knowledge that we learn and we apply it and we put it into action. I recall a story that I'm sure I've shared before, but I thought about it when I thought about this illustration. The story is about a man who's been put into prison. Not only is he in prison, but he's in one of those inner rooms with no windows, nothing except maybe a little hole in the door, to where they can communicate and put food in and out. And all he was given in that prison cell was a Bible. For the amount of time that he was in that prison cell, all he had was a Bible. So all he could do was read the Bible. He learned a lot about the Bible. He wrote verses on the wall. He knew a lot about the Bible. But when he came out of that cell, he was not a changed person. He was still the same person, but he knew a lot about the Bible. The problem is he didn't know the author of that Bible. In Romans chapter 12, you remember this verse. Paul says in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, transform means to bring about change from one form to another. And spiritual transformation comes from not only knowing God's Word, but by putting it into practice into our lives. Why? So that we can continue on the journey to be more like Christ. In Acts chapter 2, it's another example. You remember the people in the crowd on the day of Pentecost? They knew about Jesus, didn't they? They likely knew about His claim as the Messiah. But what was the problem? The problem was they didn't believe. The problem was they did not accept and they did not act on it. At least until Peter's great sermon. They knew, but they failed to act. You see, knowing is not what it's all about. It's about acting on the knowledge that we have. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Sobering verse here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Growing spiritually is not about how often someone goes to church. It's not about how much someone is involved or how much they're involved in various ministries or whether or not they're the person in charge of a program. These are important, but that's not the measure of spiritual maturity. Someone said it like this, spiritual maturity is seen in how much like Christ someone is in all aspects of their life. Now that's a sobering thought, isn't it? If someone was to ask someone else about it, are they spiritually mature? And they understood the definition of what it meant, that it means that every day I'm trying to be more like Christ. What would they say? What would their answer be about me? Would it be that yes, they are someone that are trying to be like Christ in all aspects of their life? You see, when one becomes a Christian, we become babes in Christ, don't we? And just as a newborn baby, and just as babies, they crave that physical nourishment in order to grow. So it is with spiritual babes and spiritual individuals, that we should hunger for the Word of God so that we can grow spiritually. Someone has said spiritual growth needs emphasis in three important areas. Spiritual growth needs emphasis in the area of growth. Growth in our understanding of what it means to be a Christian. We need to grow in that. Another area that they said that we need emphasis in is that of expanding. Expanding our personal knowledge of biblical truth. It's important to read God's Word, to study it. Not only learn about it, but then apply it. Which is the last one. Putting it into practice daily, what we learn. What if you were to divide your day into thirds? Just think about that for a minute. If you were to take your day and you divide it in thirds, would we be comfortable or satisfied with how much time we spend focusing on each category of growth? If we looked at it in the idea of physical, are we comfortable and satisfied with the efforts that we're making to grow physically, to be in shape, to take care of our bodies? If we looked in the idea of the intellectual, to learn, you know, there's a lot of commercials on TV today, been for several years, about knowledge. The more you know, the better you are. And so growing intellectually. But then what about spiritually? When we look at that third of our day, our life, and we look at our spiritual growth, are we comfortable? Are we comfortable with where we are, with how we're doing? You see, if we're not to be comfortable in any of those areas, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is our plan to change that? The Bible says it's important to better our bodies, right? It's important to exercise. Bodily exercise is good. But godliness, spiritual growth, that's even greater. That's great gain. I want to read to you, as we close here, an illustration, a story. And I want you to hear this story as this guy tells his story. He says, one spring our family was driving from Fort Lauderdale, Florida to Tampa, Florida. As far as the eye could see, orange trees were loaded with fruit. When we stopped for breakfast, I ordered orange juice with my eggs. I'm sorry, the waitress said. I can't bring you orange juice. Our machine is broken. At first, I was dumbfounded. We were surrounded by millions of oranges, and I knew they had oranges in the kitchen. Orange slices garnished our plates. What was the problem? No juice. Hardly. We were surrounded by thousands of gallons of juice. The problem was they had become dependent on a machine to get it. He says Christians are sometimes like that. They may be surrounded by Bibles in their homes, but if something should happen to the Sunday morning preaching service, they would have no nourishment for their souls. The problem is not a lack of spiritual food, but that many Christians haven't grown enough to know how to get it for themselves. If we looked at this third of our life, and we looked at those areas of growth, would we be comfortable where we are? I want to share with you another illustration. In the last day's newsletter, Leonard Ravenhill tells about a group of tourists visiting a picturesque village who walked by an old man sitting beside a fence. And I know I've shared this before a little bit, but listen to what happens. In a rather patronizing way, one tourist asked, were any great men born in this village? The old man replied, nope, only babies. What a question with a profound answer. What was he indicating there? Babies are grown here. You don't come here fully grown. Babies are grown, and what's expected of the babies? To grow. When we become New Testament Christians, we are babes in Christ. And what's expected of us? To grow. Spiritual growth is a journey. But it has to begin. And it has to be maintained. And the reality is, that's up to me. That's up to me. So how are you doing tonight in your spiritual growth? It's our prayer that our times together are beneficial to your spiritual growth. But like the oranges, we can't just rely on the times when we're together. We must spend time in His Word. We must, as I know some do, spend daily time alone in prayer with God. We must grow from the point we are right now, so that when we are laid in a casket, at that moment we are stronger, we have grown more spiritually than today. That's what it's all about. Tonight, are you a child of God? It's our prayer that you are. If you have looked at your life and realized through looking at God's Word, I need to give my life to Him, you can do that tonight. Remember, the eunuch said, "Here's water. What's keeping me from dying with Jesus Christ?" In a sense, he said, "I want to be married to Christ. I want to spend my life with Christ." Tonight, if you've not done that, it's our prayer that you will. Maybe you're here tonight, and Sunday nights are always great to give us an opportunity to just pray with one another. And if you're here tonight and you just need those prayers, we want you to know we're here with you. We're here to assist you. We're here to support you. And we're here to lift you up to Almighty God as together we stand and sing.
Jesus, let us come to know You. Let us see You face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Only let us live in You. Jesus, draw us ever nearer. Hold us in Your loving arms. Wrap us in Your gentle presence. When the end comes, bring us home.